Jumper.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Aging. This is Kitty Glomsky and my co-host,
Brooke Mainville,
in another edition of Let's Talk About Aging. I am here with Tressa Ross from the Otsego County Commission on Aging. You and I have been talking about another cold call, haven't we? Do you want to tell us about it?
I actually have two different instances. One gentleman received a phone call, number coming out of Traverse City with Cigna Insurance, and promised him a much better rate. As the smart individual he is, he questioned that and made us a first phone call just to double check. Would that be something that Cigna would do?
So he was on the ball, in other words. He had met with you before and you have warned him about telephone scammers and fraudsters, haven't you? So he was kind of watching for it.
Yes, he definitely depends on us. And so he said, is this something that could really happen? Can they call me like this? He was very on top of it and took the number down so that in the event that we had to report it, that we could. He said it was from Traverse City, so I didn't think it was legitimate.
What people may not be aware of is that unless you have a relationship with an insurance company, insurance agents are not allowed to just cold call you. It's against Medicare rules, isn't it?
Yes.
So what kind of insurance did he have?
He has both a prescription drug plan and a Medigap, and this one was with regard to his Medigap.
So what did they tell him?
Oh, that he could save, I think it was over $60 a month. I reminded him, they can't promise you a rate because of you are out of your period of time where they would have to ask him health questions.
Right, and his guaranteed issue period?
Yes. And so there was not going to be the opportunity that they could just give him a price without having to ask him health questions. Okay. And so I reminded him of that.
So you said you had another instance?
Yes. Again, with a Cigna call as well, this gentleman said the phone number came from an 844 number, and actually they had left a voicemail, and he called us promptly and said, should I call them back? And I just reminded him that it could be an agent trying to sell him another plan if he would like to come in and schedule an appointment, and we can make that phone call together, or we could have him come in. But outside of open enrollment, there was not a way for him to change, knowing that he didn't qualify for LIS. He hadn't had a recent move. And so we just advised him not to call back, and that if they call back again, to keep track of that phone number, we could report that number as a fraudulent call and or agent that is trying to contact.
What people may not be aware of is that there are yearly times when you can change your plan. And for their drug plan, that's called open enrollment. In October, between October 15th and December 7th, you get to take a look at the plans that are being offered for the next year. But with your health insurance, if it's an Advantage plan, you get to look at it during the same open enrollment. And actually, for our Advantage plans, it extends through the following March. But the Medigap program uses something called health underwriting, doesn't it, Tressa?
Yes. Health underwriting is simply the questions that they ask regarding your health, and they do ask about past health history, and that all is part of the formula that they come up with your premium when you are outside of that guaranteed issue period. They have every right to ask you those health questions, and your premium is based on the answers of those questions.
It's not just the premium. If you have some serious stuff going on, and health underwriting would take a look at that to determine eligibility, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes. They could be deemed ineligible for the program.
We know that this is important to individuals, especially if you start Medicare prior to age 65 because you have a disability. At age 65, this is your chance to actually get a Medigap. And Medigaps have very comprehensive coverage.
Yes, they do. And getting them right in that guaranteed issue period is really your best option.
Do you want to tell people how to reach you at Otsego County Commission on Aging? because you've moved, haven't you?
We have. We are now located at 1165 Elkview Drive in Gaylord, Michigan. It's really about two blocks away from where we were formerly located, and you would come to the lower level. It's always a good idea to call for an appointment prior to, and you can reach us at 989-732-9977. I am the one that answers the phone typically, and I would ask a few questions and get you an appointment.
That sounds great. Thank you for joining us this morning. Brooke, I understand that you have caregiver education classes and some tools and websites. Can you talk to us about what you have?
I am excited to talk about a bunch of different caregiving programs that we have. Some people don't know about the programs, and caregiving is difficult. We have resources and information to help them.
Do you have any idea about how many caregivers we actually have throughout Northeast Michigan?
They say 1 in 5 Michigan adults currently provide care to a family member or friend. And out of that, there is a higher rate of women caregiving. 54% are women. That's a great, great number.
That's pretty amazing, actually. All of these classes are available free, no cost, right?
Correct.
I think I might want to sign up. What's the first class you have?
We have evidence-based disease prevention programs. What it means is that programs have been proven and studied to work with the evidence behind them backing them up. So the two programs that Region 9 provides that are evidence-based are Creating Confident Caregivers and Powerful Tools for Caregivers. Creating Confident Caregivers is a 6-week evidence-based program. It's a great workshop. We meet once a week for 6 weeks for 2 hours and provide this either virtual or in person. Creating Confident Caregivers is for someone caring for someone with dementia. It's disease specific, and it's once a week for 6 weeks for 2 hours for dementia caregivers.
What kinds of helps are you going to give me as a caregiver for someone with dementia?
Well, a lot of times the caregivers come to realize they're not alone and that caring for a person with dementia is challenging. There's other people that are going through the same challenges. We go over the different stages of dementia and how to stage an activity, because if your person with dementia can get understimulated or overstimulated, that's where the dementia-related behaviors happen. It's really beneficial for the caregivers because they learn so much throughout those 6 weeks.
You give them some coping skills, don't you? I was talking to a caregiver whose spouse was rather aggressive. Do you have suggestions and ways that they handle their situation?
We give them suggestions. We talk about different ideas. It's really peer-to-peer because it's a group of dementia caregivers. They can ask the group and the group can problem solve together about how to handle this. They're not alone in their caregiving. A lot of them have been handling that same situation. We talk about local resources. It's a great workshop. A quote from a past participant. He said, "Thank you for providing these classes. It gives caregivers something to use as a reference since dementia is always changing. The textbook chapters can be more relevant at different times. I really enjoyed all the caregiving sharing. It is surprising how some things are the same. It makes me feel like I'm not a lone survivor and the only one having these issues."
That's so meaningful. It's great. It is something that you need to reach out and get ideas and get support. This is great that these classes are available.
We go over it's not an acute illness, it's a chronic illness. A person with dementia can live for a very long time, and the different stages, the different caring for them is different. Another evidence-based program that we provide is Powerful Tools for Caregivers. That is 6 weeks, and we offer it in person or virtual. The in-person is 2.5 hours long, and the virtual is 90 minutes long. This one is for any family caregiver. You can even be a caregiver of a child with special needs, and you're more than welcome to attend. This workshop really provides tools to better handle the unique caregiver challenges they face. We talk about how to deal with difficult emotions, communication techniques, and the difference between being assertive and aggressive. There's so many different things that we go through in that 6 weeks. We often tell caregivers to pair them. And if someone takes Creating Confident Caregivers, we suggest that they take Powerful Tools. Powerful Tools, more more or less focuses on self-care of the caregiver. We do a weekly action plan where the caregiver has to do something for themselves, not something that they're told to do or just something to get done. We really stress the importance of self-care. If a caregiver takes care of themselves, they are a better caregiver. Our overall goal is to prevent caregiver burnout and emotional fatigue.
That's so important, isn't it?
Yes. A lot of caregivers feel guilty about spending time for self-care. Spending 30 minutes on yourself isn't anything you should feel guilty about.
In the MAP program, I talk to people all the time who have a spouse that they're caregiving for, and there is a high level of stress to realize that it's probably you as the caregiver that's in jeopardy of ill health if you don't take care of yourself. Is that true?
That is true. It's found that caregivers have the highest rate of depression. Dementia caregivers have the highest, and they put their health on the back burner. And a person caring for a person with dementia can actually pass away before their care recipient. So it's important that they do take care of their health because it will make a huge difference. And then I do have here too, Kitty, three quotes from past participants that say, "I'm more informed about the importance of self-care. It's not selfish. It is necessary." The second person said, "This class gave me the tools to make life better for all at home." And the third one was, "Completing my action plans felt good. Very informative workshop."
I know you get a lot out of these classes. I've attended a few of them, but you do get an awful lot of information and it is a real help.
In both of the workshops, we provide them with a book and the resources after the workshop. They can always look back on that and review that material. With certain diseases, they change, or what's important in year one might not be important in year three. So it's good to have a resource that you can go back and look at.
You have the caregiver series, you have the powerful tools of caregiving for anybody. And then you also do something called a dementia consultation, don't you?
I am a certified dementia specialist. I meet with a dementia caregiver in a person-centered one-on-one setting. We talk about what issues are they experiencing, and then I give them resources and information to help them with that problem and dementia-related behaviors. A lot of times these caregivers just need someone to listen to them and provide them feedback. It's all different depending on what stage that person with dementia is and how long they've been caregiving. I really believe, especially with dementia, that the more information you know about a disease, it is easier to care for someone.
You have some other tools too, don't you?
There are resources out there for caregivers. One I wanted to bring up was our Caregiver Resource Center. So that's an online caregiver page that we've created with resources and information, tips and tools. We put that together within the last year, and there's still going to be more to come. So keep a watch on that. That is at our NEMSCA.org website, and you can hit Caregiver Resource Center. Another great resource is our quarterly caregiver newsletter. It's not geared towards one disease specifically. It provides family caregivers with resources, information, helpful tips. And every quarter, there's something different. So we might talk about depression. We might talk communication techniques. We might talk about finances or future planning. And it's a great place to go to see when the workshops are as well. I have two statements from people who have received them. They said, "I needed to know the information in the caregiver newsletter. I am suffering caregiver burnout and I am contemplating what to do about it. Reading the caregiver newsletter helped me to identify the burnout, and now I know it's okay to make changes to help me."
That is neat that people really connect and appreciate and figure out how to handle things. This is the whole purpose, and it makes it worthwhile.
And all that was a mass email sent out, and they found the purpose reading within. It's about 6 pages long, but there's images, it's full of color, so it's not a long read. It's not daunting, but she found the information and the benefit in it. So changing one person's life, it makes a big difference. The other person said, "This is an excellent newsletter. I do appreciate receiving it and reading it faithfully. It is full of good information and reminders of the help available to support individuals. Thank you for providing this newsletter." You can find this on our website at nemsca.org under Caregiver Quarterly Newsletter. We also put these on our Facebook. Also, if you just type in the NEMSCA search up at the top, you put Caregiver Newsletter, it'll pop right up and just go to that page.
That's an easy way to find it. Do you have any other caregiver classes?
We actually are doing a caregiver webinar series. We did 6 We're in the middle of them. We provide free caregiver webinars every second Friday of every month from 1 to 2. It's for older adults, caregivers, healthcare professionals. It's open to anyone. It's free. We have great speakers. We just got done with our third one today. Sarah Gussler talked about understanding and responding to dementia. If that's a topic that you would like to watch, we do record them and keep them on our Facebook. So go to our Facebook page. All of them are there. Our next three topics are July 8th is relatives raising relative children or kinship care. August 12th is navigating family dynamics and caregiving. September 9th is dealing with grief and loss. And that's like a big one for a lot of caregivers. It's really easy to sign up and reach out to me and I'll get you signed up.
That's great. And how do they reach you, Brooke? What's your number?
My number is 989-358-4616. And that's my direct line. Feel free to give me a call. I'm here to help family caregivers in our area.
Can you talk a little bit more about the kinship program?
The kinship care program is for relatives providing care for related relatives' children. Other organizations like MSU Extension have a great kinship resource center. For our program, you have to be over the age of 55 caring for youth under age 18. You can receive funding for activities such as recreational activities, school supplies or clothing, furniture. And it's honestly a very easy process. You can contact me to get you started, but you would reach out to your local COA and ask to fill out a kinship application. We would look it over to see if you qualify. Then we would provide the COA with funds and you would get the items that you need.
All right. I'm going to stop you there because you and I both know what a COA is, but our listeners may not. So they would go to their
Commission on Aging, okay. Senior Citizen Center. Every county has one. Reach out to them. If that's confusing, reach out to me at 989-358-4616. And I'd be more than happy to guide you.
These are like little mini grants, aren't they? They can provide you with money to get bedding or a bed. If you get a grandchild in the middle of the night and you don't have furniture, I know that the program has helped to pay for becoming a Boy Scout, a uniform, or maybe a field trip. You probably know of a few other things that this has helped to fund, don't you?
Yeah, I had one kinship caregiver that just reached out to me and we were able to fund two of her grandchildren to do gymnastics now going on 3 years. She just called to tell me what team they were on, how well they were doing. And she said she would not be able to send them to without our kinship funds. That made me so happy to hear that these girls are doing gymnastics. They're good at it and they're enjoying it. It's giving that grandma respite while those kids are doing gymnastics. We do school clothing, school supplies, all these great things with the fund. So how it works is you can request $300 twice a year.
So per child. The thing that I thought about as you were explaining it was that these are usually grandparents that are taking on the parenting responsibility for a child or for children. As an older adult, they're probably on Social Security or a fixed income. So having more people in the household puts a strain on the finances. This is a way of equalizing opportunities for these children to still do the things that kids do. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I just wrote a grant about kinship. And I included the statistics of kinship caregivers. A lot of them don't have the funding to do these extra activities with their kids. That's where the memories are made of. Older adults aren't preparing for their retirement to raise children.
Where do they go for the application?
They can reach out to their Commission on Aging, or they can give me a call and I'll guide them to the right person for their Commission on Aging to make it easier.
That's great, Brooke. Anything else you want to add about all of the programs that you provide?
So I think we hit all 7 of them. If you want more information and resources on these, there are brochures. You can go on our website or feel free to give me a call and I will talk to you in more detail.
Brooke, I think out of everything that you've just described, you are one of the best resources throughout Region 9. Anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm very happy that we do have these resources for our caregivers because there's so many out there and working with them, you can just see how much of a challenge caregiving is. And I'm glad that we do have these services. So.
If you are a caregiver, give Brooke a call. And that's 358-4616. Brooke, let's talk about the calendar of events. I understand that you have some happenings in July.
I know, July. Isn't that crazy that we're talking July? I have a Powerful Tools for Caregivers. That's that 6-week workshop for caregivers, any chronic condition. And that's starting July 11th, going to August 15th from 1 to 3. I also have a elder abuse webinar Wednesday, July 20th from 1 to 2. And then I have a caregiver webinar for kinship caregivers, relatives raising relatives' children on July 8th. That's a Friday from 1 to 2. And the last webinar I have is a healthy living webinar on fall prevention. And that's from 1 to 2 on a Friday, July 15th.
These are all virtual. They're all available just by starting up your computer, which makes it easy.
Super easy. I email you the Zoom link. So for the webinars, for example, I email you the day before with the Zoom link. And then I also email it to you 15 minutes prior to the meeting. So it's very easy to get on. And they're only 1-hour sessions. We have some great speakers through different organizations that we partner with. For example, Kinship Care One, that's with MXU Extension and their kinship director, Beth. And our fall prevention program is with our partners at the Thunder Bay Physical, FYZICAL. Andrew Dobek is going to present on ways to recognize the impact of falls and injuries, how our emotion and our environmental factors play a role in the falls, how to make home modifications and assistive devices. So we have some great partners that we work with, and I'm excited for that.
That's great. Andrew Dobek has helped you in the past too, hasn't he?
Yeah. So it used to be Thunder Bay Therapy, and they have done a lot for Region 9 throughout the years. Same with MSU Extension. We have some great partners that we work with, and they're always so willing to provide these free so that we can continue to provide them to the community for free.
That's great. So do you have anything else on your calendar?
I will have some for the month of August.
We can't wait. So on my side of the table, I have a new to Medicare presentation on July 13th at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11. And this is a virtual presentation. You can tap into it either through your computer, a tablet, or your cell phone. This is all the information that you need to know when you start Medicare. If you are turning 65, if you have been working for a while and you're planning to retire, or if you're disabled and starting Medicare, we walk you through everything you need to know to get your drug plan and other insurances. We explain Advantage plans and Medigaps and what those options mean and what they do for you. This is on July 13th, Wednesday, from 10 to 11 o'clock. If you're interested in participating, you can give us a call, 1-800-803-7174, or you can call your local council or commission on aging, otherwise known as a senior center. We have MAP counselors, the Medicare Medicaid Assistance Program, in every single county in Northeast Michigan. So you can sign up through them and attend the webinar. Then you will also have a follow-up appointment to talk about your own situation. This is pretty comprehensive. And so again, the number to call would be 1-800-803-7174. Brooke, that's all I have. Do you have anything else to add?
You were talking about how they contact you. I realized I didn't give them how to contact me to register. So feel free to give me a call at 989-358-4616. That will be the easiest way, but you can always go on our website, our Facebook page. You can email me, but definitely the phone number is the easiest, 989-358-4616.
So I guess we sign off and say until next time, thank you for joining us with Let's Talk About Aging.
Podcast music provided by Groove Music. Selection titled Modern Logo, created by Vadim Kuznetsov and can be found at https://elements.envato.com/modern-logo-zvhfbj6. This podcast was supported, in part, by grant number 90MPPG0039 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C., 20201.